focus on microtransactions because I don't have control over what's going on overseas. I don't have control, like all this news that comes in, and it's all these things that get you upset and depressed. And I just say, if people just all focused on their microtransactions, being decent with one another, to one another, you know, whether it's the barista at the coffee shop or the person at Target, or, you know, just if we just all were just decent to one another, things would get better. But even if we're not, that's something I know I can control. And I think, you know, there's a great saying, it's someone in the Tony Robbins camp said it, but what got you to Egypt won't necessarily get you to the promised land. Yeah. And one of the things that drove me was anger. So it was my gas. That was my fuel. I was, and I always, whether something would happen to a talent, I knew Maria, Mercedes, you know, if they got rejected, I would say, but you know what? That's okay. That's on us. We clearly haven't shown you who the F we are. Let me show you now. So with Maria, it was just like, oh, okay. Now, every time whoever's messed with her, every time you pump gas, you're seeing Maria. Every time you go to the movie theater, you're going to, and so I was driven by, and same with Mercedes. It's like, oh no, you're going to have like more money than you can ever imagine. You're going to be treated like you should be. All good. But it also compromised my health. I realized it was eating away at me. And so that was my, got me to Egypt. And so now it's finding new ways to motivate me, which is not that, all right, I'll, you know, the justice, like, all right, I'll show you. Like it is, you must know from athletes that it gets cut, it's good, right? Like right. Jordan and Kobe and Bird, like they were like so driven in that way, but right, what it was like, I'll show you, like, and my wife, so a huge sports fan too, which is, you'll love Maria. But Maria, what she liked Magic and Sugar Ray and Shaq, because Kevin, she's like, they knew how to turn it on and then turn it off. Like in the game, they're in it, but then they're out and they're happy. And she's like, I'm sorry, I've seen Larry out, I've seen Michael out, and they're still carrying it. You know,
you know, the one thing that I try to give young guys, and I try to give them characters like Mom, right? Even with young kids. And so we talk about us even being characters in life and understanding who your characters are, right? And I think that helps people be able to turn it on a journal, because when you go into character mode, you're not that person, but in that moment.
Got it. Yes. Person.
So I encourage young people to find superheroes that they identify with.
Right.
And when you're going into feeling the fear and you're going into competition, you actually step outside of who you are and become that character. And then now, as the game closes and everything is over, you let the character go, because you can't be an asshole to your shed, to your driver.
Yeah.
You can't carry the moment of the game and put it on everyone.
You can be, but it leads to a very toxic.
It's very toxic.
I mean,
and then to you, because I've seen people fuel themselves with, I got cut from this AAU team. And that's their motive. And I mean, they can get them really going. Like I said, get it going.
Yeah.
It can get them really going. Or nobody wanted me. And that's all they got to do is they can look in the mirror.
Right.
Nobody wanted me right now. So for the rest, oh, you didn't draft me. So certain people, they find this. One thing.
Well, Jordan, right? He didn't make his varsity team, right? And that was it.
That was his it. I have to ask him
and
find out what was his thing. Something, like you said, anger.
Anger. Like Bird's father killed himself, you know, like, and then Bobby Knight abused him, you know, like they all have their like
things that get people to greatness.
But you have, I like the idea of putting the cape and cowl over to the side.
So you can still be who you are. It's just that you is finding what character you want to be in your own mood.
That's the beauty of why we, when we do this, because what Chris has on the court is always applicable to life.
Yes.
Right. And so we look at life as court.
Sports is the best reality show going.
Absolutely.
And so it is.
All these things that Chris uses with his characters, we bring it and we try to bring it to life. Actually, I'm going to keep forgetting to re-bring up is, do you have like scientists in the family or doctors?
No, they're all like, you know,
well,
they're confused by me. My mother literally said to me, I think it was like a year ago, she goes, you remember when you first went to Hollywood, you were an extra on General Hospital? It was like a day thing. I'm like, yeah, would you ever do that again?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, Mom, I don't think so. Yeah, they have no idea. God love them. They have no clue.
You explain. And you said, you know, you just one day sat down and you're like, I'm going to go over the last, whatever, 6 hours and figure out, what did I watch that made me upset? What did I eat that made me feel bad?
Yeah.
But like, I didn't want to make me feel bad, but like, so you follow the Socratic method. I don't know if you realized, you literally do.
Oh, no.
So when a scientist is doing an experiment, right? Or a doctor who follows a similar method, and they go in and they want to figure out, like, how do I recreate it? So they literally have to go and dissect every single thing that led up to it, right? So if they're like, hey, I just figured out how to, you know, isolate the Higgs boson, which is, they call it the God particle, and it's the particle they think that everything comes from, and they discovered it, and not discovered it, they knew it existed, but they found it and saw it for the first time in 2011. You know, to do that, they have to go back and look at every little detail. What did they do to get to that step? And what did they not do to get to that step? And what did they do to fail? And what did they do? And it's like down to the greatest little piece. And you're doing that with life. And that's why I asked about scientists, because when you said it, I'm like, oh, he's using science in life. You're like, I looked at a day where I felt bad. And I went backwards and I said, what did I watch? What did I do?
Yeah.
Who did I listen to? Like, who did I speak to? And then kind of you adjust like you would in an experiment, the variables you put into the experiment to say, okay, well, that didn't find me the Higgs boson. That made me feel unhappy. So let me take out what I ate. Did that work? No, I still feel unhappy. Let me take out that podcast I listened to.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I feel better now. Am I super happy? No, but I don't feel bad. Okay, today, but I was happy that day. Okay, what did I do? Well, I watched this and I ate that. Okay, then let me go watch that. And let me go eat that. Oh, now I'm happy. So I know watching that makes... And that's actually, that is literally what a scientist does in an experiment to figure out, like, the end result of an experiment.
Take the data of your life.
No, you did, but you did. And you explained it. You literally sat down and you charted out an experiment of your life. And you're like, I'm going to figure out what makes me happy.
And even, you know, another thing, driving in LA with some of my cars, I just enjoy it. And so, but, you know, and Maria fights with me all the time, but like, okay. And I'm always trying to find, I call the regular guy workaround.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I have to remind Maria too, like, Maria, you're very wealthy and you're very successful. But remember when we were in a basement and had nothing, I'm always trying to find that, you know, whether it's you could take a bath with Epsom salt, but even my cars, I don't have, you kind of would, you laugh at my car collection, you know, in Hollywood, everyone's got the Ferraris and the Porsches, this, that, like my cars are like 10 to 15 grand. They're classic cars, but I enjoy drive. I like waxing them, washing them. I like driving them, but that makes me happy. And I said, so I tell Maria, like, Maria, that drive I do to my studios on Burbank Boulevard in Ojo, I'm like, I really enjoy that. So guess what? I'm gonna do that drive with my Thunderbird convertible, and like, I'm just, you know, and so those are like little things that put me in a good place that I wouldn't have, but for like not in the bougie way. I'm always trying to find the way to make, you know, to do it that is within means, because the other thing, and I learned this from Marvin Hagler. Do you remember Marvin? He's way before your time, right? But it's funny because Marvin and Sugar Ray, so Marvin was more like of the Jordan, Larry Bird, couldn't let it go. And I think it's what killed him. He was, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't let it go. And Sugar Ray talks about it too, but a Boston guy. And so we were, when I was really young, he was at a bar. And he was dancing, and he was with a girl, you know, his girlfriend at the time. And I remember just being in awe. It's Marvin Hagler. It's the greatest middleweight in boxing, one of the greatest fighters of all time. And anyway, so I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Hagler, can I buy you a drink just so I can say buy a drink? He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like, come here. You know, I'm not going to bite. So we started talking. I said, well, can I ask you this question? I'm like, I'm kind of confused because you're here. Like, you're just with your girlfriend here alone. And he was like, he's like, you're looking for my entourage. He's like, you're my driver, my this, my that, my this. He's like, let me tell you something. He goes, I don't need a bodyguard, obviously. I'm Marvin Hagler. He's like, I can drive myself. I can this and that. He said, but He's really, he's like, all that stuff is going to go away. It's all temporary. He's like, what happens with Muhammad and these other people that had these big, all this around them, and then when it eventually goes away, they're massively depressed. He's like, so I work every day to try to keep myself as close to where I used to be before I made it. So then I know I'm never going to feel failure after it's gone. I'm always going to be okay. And so to this day, my favorite car, which your producer borrowed for about a year, is my 2005 Ford Ranger that I love. And I drive every day, and I got my Timberlands here, my Dickies, and like I really did. And Maria sometimes fights with me about it because she's like, you need to step your game up. You need to wear like better clothes to these things. And I'm like, Maria, I never want to go there. And that's why I was never afraid. Not only not having kids, I was never afraid because I knew the person across the table was afraid to lose their beach house, their shoe collection. So when I had to protect Maria, and the only two times I ever had to go nuclear in this business, they were like, no, this lady, she's crazy. She kills everyone in the business. I go, no, she's not. She's got you all fooled. That's her game. She doesn't want to lose her beach house, her shoe collection, or this guy doesn't want to. And I'm going to bring it to him because I'm not afraid to lose any of that. We'll take the red pickup. We'll go home, honey. We'll go back to Boston. Yep. We have enough for a little 2 or 3 bedroom condo, and we're JFF, just effing fine. And guess what? Who always folded? The other side table went, I'm out. But I was never afraid, and I'm still not, because I know at the end of the day, but I learned that from Marvin Hagler. He was like, I'm good without all this stuff. I don't need it.
Very,
you know?
It is. I actually went through it twice. And I became the guy with all the
stuff. Right, yeah, I know.
And learned not just that I'm not scared to not have it, but that stuff actually keeps you from happy in a certain way. And so it's interesting. I launched a hedge fund when I was 20 years old.
I can't believe your story. I can't believe your story. I didn't wake up until I was like 34 to start like take it. You know,
I honestly didn't wake up till I was in my 40s. And I'll explain why, but what I mean by that. But when I was 20, I launched the hedge fund. I left Dean Witter and launched the hedge fund. And I had the who's who in the business. My investors, from Kirk Kerkorian to, you know, Sumner to Michael J. Fox, to Jerry Bruckheimer, to Brian Grazer, to Jake Bloom, you name it. They were my investors. And I was doing private equity and derivatives trading. And, you know, I did everything that a 22-year-old with too much money would do. Bought it. They'll remember walking in, buying my Ferrari 360 Modena. I bought a 3-story modern house in the hills. I hate modern houses, by the way. You don't know what you like in 22, but I fucking will.
I hate them too.
In a modern
house. They're so depressing. I know.
But yeah. The most modern you ever could buy, not just modern, it was what I call Asian modern. So it was even simplicity modern.
Yeah, big, open, empty. Yeah.
Open, 3-story. A tennis court, a basketball court, a pool the size of, you know, whatever. And, you know, the market crashed in 2001. And I had to shut my hedge fund down. And I literally went from like that, because I put everything I had back into my business. And I owned half my hedge fund. And I still remember going to my dad and saying, like, what should I do? And my dad's like, you know, so the companies we invested in, actually, they all ended up making it. Pretty funny story, some 20 years later. But my dad said, you got to take your ownership and give it to your investors because these are all going to have down round and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, that's all I have. Saying, all I have is your name.
Yeah.
So I literally gave basically everything I had back to my investors.
Yeah.
And moved into a 1-bedroom. I'm
23
years old. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I'm obsessed with physics. So I started reading physics books. So I started applying to physics programs. And I remember I walked outside to this teeny little patio, walked outside and laid a little physics book and I laid up. And I think I maybe like was trying to figure out if I had enough money to buy dinner that night. And I was like, I'm the happiest I've been in like 5 years. Right? I mean, I didn't have kids. I didn't have a wife.
Yeah.
It was me. I didn't only have to care about me. And I was like, you know, I remember being in that giant house at night, freaked out of my own house, you know, like ghosts in the hall and going like needed people over because I didn't want to be alone and,
right.
you know, having parties all the time. So when I made it, I'll call it the second time in Hollywood. I remember my business manager at the time he passed away, Bob Philpott, who was the salt of the earth. He had said to me, I wish all my clients was easy to do because I remember I said to my, so I, when I started to make a little bit of money, I knew I wanted to be on the beach. I rented a beach house for, and I think a lot of people think it's a lot of money, but not a ridiculous amount of money. Like it's a 2,800 square foot beach house. That was my full-time house. I had one car. And I'm like, I told him, that's all I need. And he was like, I go, why do I need to deal with anything else? This is like, for me, perfect. And he was like, I wish every one of my clients would do that, and, you know, would understand that. And to me, I did end up just not even meaning to buying things like, oh, I need to, I bought a house in Hawaii and I know when I got married and my wife wanted a bigger house in Point Doom and, you know, which I understand, like, you know,
yeah,
we had a family and, you know, oh, it was, I was traveling 280 days, so it was easy to, I needed to buy a plane and blah, 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 blah. And I woke up and I had all this stuff that when I kind of had to stop doing what I was doing, the problem for me wasn't that I was scared to lose all of it. I was like, what the fuck do I do with
it? It's a lot of energy.
And it's a lot of money. And
yes.
When someone else
but it's weight, you know, all of that is weight.
Unloading all of it. I was like.
Start feeling good, right?
I was like, and I went to, so I bought a little property and I rebuilt it. It was just me and my son at the time. He now, and I have a 3-year-old now too. But at the time, Jerome was born, he was like 4. And I bought this house and I was like, I'm going to gut it and do a 3-story Bel Air. And my wife and I just moved out of like, you know, 14,000 square foot house in Brownwood. And I thought, am I doing that? No. So I kept the footprint of the house. It will been at, it's, I don't know, it's under 5,000 square feet. It's a 1-story. I'm like, I want every room to be where we can hear each other. That's what makes me happy. I want my beach house back.
Awesome.
And I made it exactly how I love it. So I, you know, went a little over the top with the, you know, I wanted the red marble and wanted this, but you don't walk, it's not a big house. It's not a flashy house. I went down to, you know, I like cars, but like, I like the cars that I like to collect for fun, right?
Right.
And getting rid of all that stuff and going down to like, I'm the happiest I've ever been. So when I say I figured it out at 40, what I figured out is what matters to me is my kids. First of all, like, all I care about is I need to be home for dinner. Yeah. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can offer me.
You know, Vin Diesel has a great quote. He said, he told when we were having our baby, he told Maria, he said, listen, nothing's real. Nothing in the world anymore is real. News isn't real. Instagram, we were talking earlier, right? No one's life is real. He's like, the only thing that's real are your kids. He's like, so he's like, you got to have kids. He's like, because it's the only thing that's real. And I thought that was powerful.